Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert unto whom they help and save us ever. Faith goes to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is
good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Today we read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verses 6 through 8. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40 is a very remarkable prophecy. If you read through the chapter, you see that the voice speaks of comfort and promises forgiveness of sins, and then the voice cries out for repentance. That's the divine order. First, forgiveness, then repentance. Now, I'd suggest to you that if we were in charge, we would reverse the order because that would make more sense to us. We would first demand repentance, and then when it is forthcoming, announce forgiveness. But God doesn't work that way. First, he speaks comfort to his people. Comfort, comfort. Your iniquity is pardoned. Your warfare is over. You have received from the Lord's hand double for all your sins. There's nothing that you can do to bring this about. It's done without your help. It's done in spite of you. Your rebellion, your pride, and your stubborn refusal to repent, and your inability to correct your wrongs and the damage that they've done. Now, some will argue that God forgave the nation of Judah on account of her suffering. She had been taken away as captives, and she suffered for years, exiled away from her homeland. And so interpreters of the Bible will say that when Isaiah spoke of Judah receiving from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, he meant to say that she was being punished twice as much as was required for her to be forgiven. But that is not what Isaiah was saying. That's not what God was saying. God doesn't forgive us as a result or consequence of our suffering. In fact, God does not forgive us because we repent. God does not forgive us because we've shown sufficient sincerity in our remorse. God does not forgive us because of any conditions we meet. Now, there are conditions that must be met in order for God to forgive us. That's true. God's grace is not absolute. That is to say, it doesn't exist independently. God's grace is always joined to certain conditions, but the conditions are met by God. And this truth is at the center of the everlasting gospel. This truth shatters all monuments to man's glory. This truth rescues sinners caught in the valley of despair, and it's the truth that slaps the proud off the mountains of self-righteousness. It's the truth that levels the desert into a smooth highway. So the voice cries out, "Listen, all you sinners. Listen, all you saints. Listen, all you who are enamored with the beauty of the things that you own. Listen, all of you who are tired of working and watching what you work for break down and wear out. Listen and look at the glory of the Lord." It comes. The glory of heaven is revealed here on earth as God becomes our brother. And this baby, this child, this man, this Emmanuel, God with us, meets the requirements of forgiveness. Can you say God forgives you? If you can, why? What is the cause? How are you going to answer? Will you talk about what God has done for you, or will you talk about what you have done for God? Why does God forgive you? What condition has been met, and who met it? This is the question that determines the meaning of Christmas, and indeed the meaning of the Christian faith. How can you know that when the glory of God is revealed, you will be able to rejoice in its revelation and not be destroyed by it, as frost melting under the glare of the winter sun, or as grass withering under the scorching summer heat? You can know because God has met the conditions required for the forgiveness of your sins. He has done all of the doing that needs to be done. And this is what the glory of God is all about. It isn't dramatic signs and wonders. It isn't glitzy miracles to impress the impressionable. No, the glory of the Lord is hidden under the gentle humility of the baby born in Bethlehem. Look at your God lying in a manger, and there you see love in the flesh, love incarnate. The Word becomes flesh to do in the flesh what our flesh cannot do. He meets the condition we cannot meet. As we sing, love caused thy incarnation, love brought thee down to me, thy thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led thee to embrace in love all love excelling our lost and fallen race. He doesn't forgive us after we have met certain conditions. God forgives us because God is love, and His love meets the requirements. His love is located in the person of His Son. So the love of God lies in the manger. O Jesus Christ, thy manger is my paradise at which my soul reclineth. For there, O Lord, doth lie the Word made flesh for us. Herein thy grace forth shineth. Love meets the demands that our sin required of a holy God. The glory of the Lord shines forth from the manger. The glory of the Lord is more perfectly revealed under the suffering of this holy child, as 33 years later he was lifted up on the cross, and there the glory of God was revealed. And we don't have to turn away from God's glory as if it is a terrifying thing, but we can run to it and embrace it. And that's what is so wonderful about Christmas. Christmas joins the eternal God to our temporal lives so beautifully. The time is just over 2,000 years ago when a virgin by the name of Mary gave birth to a child, just as God had foretold through the prophets. And the time is right now, as our families gather together to celebrate this holy birth. His birth is the joining of the eternal to our time. For it is the eternal God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, who now in our time has received His human nature from His mother Mary. And the eternal God is joined to our time as we watch another year fade away. The year is just about over. And the voice pronounces the divine verdict of both time and eternity. All flesh is as grass, but the Word of God stands forever. Does anybody know how many billions of dollars are spent during this time of the year? I suppose it's good for the economy, so we shouldn't be too hard on the commercialization of Christmas. After all, more economic activity means more jobs, more prosperity, and, of course, more revenue in taxes for the government. There are worse things than the commercialization of Christmas. But we know that everything money can buy will be gone sooner or later. All flesh is as grass. And that goes for what we build. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. and all of the beautiful Christmas gifts selected with care and love, set aside, wrapped, put under the tree to the delight of the loved one who opens it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, are tokens of an eternal love. That's why Christians give gifts on Christmas, because of the divine gift of the Son of God. But the tokens will be lost and forgotten, perhaps discovered someday by those not knowing the where or the why or the how of it being given and received. And it won't really matter a whole lot, because if anybody knows, in time, all of it will be destroyed and its place will know it no more. That goes for everything we own in this world except for the word and promises of God. Nothing we have is as pretty as the grass clothed with beautiful flowers, and nothing we have any more permanence. Here today and gone tomorrow, those who put their affections on the things they have will find themselves without affection and full of bitterness and a sense of irretrievable loss when the time comes for their own flesh and blood to fail and give way to death. What a loss, what a tragic loss. Everything beautiful destroyed, everything lovely gone to ruin, everything done with such brilliant human ingenuity, deliberate care, and meticulous planning is reduced by an implacable law of nature into disorganized wreckage. But that's not nature's law, that's God's law. As the prophet says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. But the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word by which we are born from above to live forever. The word of God has leveled the highway into our hearts. The Lord of glory has entered in, and he has chosen to remain. He is God with us. He makes everything new. The things we give and receive, which have no lasting value in themselves, obtain a borrowed value from the God who has joined us in love. In fact, all of our works, our strivings, and our plans have a purpose, and time doesn't just pass us by and leave us old, but in Christ, the eternal God has joined us where we live. We confess our sins of thought, word, and deed. We say our amen to the verdict pronounced upon all flesh by the voice of God, and then we listen. We listen to God's voice, and we hear a different verdict than the verdict of the law. Our incarnate and crucified Savior has fulfilled the conditions required for our forgiveness, and for Christ's sake, God has given us double forgiveness for all our sins. This is the word from God that raises us up to heaven, while sanctifying what we do for one another here on earth. Holding on to this word, we are joined to the eternal word become flesh, and we have eternal life. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, and we invite you to come to any one of the congregations of our parish. At First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, we have church at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. At Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, we have church at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. And at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, we have church at noon every Sunday. Check out the World Wide Web, christforus.org. You'll find sermons, papers, and other things that may interest you. And if you'd like to contact us, you can simply click on my name, Pastor Rolf Preuss, on the website and send me an email. It would be good to hear from you. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.